From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, March 16th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by the Dempsey Center, making life better for people managing the impact of cancer. Locations in Lewiston and South Portland. DempseyCenter.org.
The state now has 17 confirmed and presumptive cases of the new coronavirus. Maine Center for Disease Control Director Dr. Nirav Shah says the cases now span from Cumberland County, which has the most at 13, to Androscoggin, Lincoln, and Knox counties. Bath Iron Works won't be shutting down production for now, but it's saying employees who want to take 2 weeks away from work can do so without pay. In a statement, the leaders of the two largest unions representing workers at BIW demanded that, quote, general dynamics protect the public health of all Mainers and immediately close the yard at Bath Iron Works for 2 weeks and send its workers home with full pay. In an effort to curb St. Patrick's Day events and festivities, the city of Portland is imposing what it's calling a mandatory curfew from 6 tomorrow morning until 2 a.m. Wednesday for establishments where people gather. City Manager John Jennings says the curfew will also be in effect Wednesday through Saturday from 8 p.m. until 2 a.m.
We are also strongly recommending all restaurants close to dine-in customers or dramatically limit the number of customers and provide takeout or delivery options only for the foreseeable future.
Portland's also recommending that all gyms and fitness studios close for now. Jennings says these steps are necessary to slow the spread of the new coronavirus. And New England Cancer Specialists announced that it is closing its Kennebunk office for 2 weeks after an employee tested positive for COVID-19. Spokesperson Victoria Foley says in consultation with the Maine CDC, NECS is advising all 237 patients who were in the Kennebunk office last week to stay home and monitor for any symptoms. She says 23 of the 43 staff members in Kennebunk are now in quarantine and monitoring for symptoms. Foley says the CDC recommended completely cleaning and disinfecting the office.
Last night we had a cleaning crew in there to do what's called a terminal clean, which is sort of like a soup to nuts cleaning, if you will. They take everything apart, they disinfect every surface with hospital-grade disinfectant, and the office will sit empty for 2 weeks.
Foley says Kennebunk patients with in-person treatment appointments will instead be seen at the NECS office in Scarborough. NECS will now utilize telemedicine for appointments like follow-up visits. In weather tonight, clouds, lows in the mid-teens to low 30s. Tomorrow, light snow with some rain in the south, up to 3 inches of snow in the mountains, highs in the mid-30s to mid-40s. On Wednesday, partly sunny with highs in the low 30s up to the low 50s. And on Thursday, light snow to rain with highs in the low 30s to low 40s. As the number of cases of COVID-19 in Maine climbs and the need for testing increases, some healthcare providers say the state doesn't have enough protective equipment to meet the demand. As Patty White reports, it's a challenge that extends nationwide with no easy solution.
Personal protective equipment, or PPE, is the masks, eye shields, gowns, and gloves that healthcare workers need to protect themselves while testing and treating patients for the new coronavirus. And Darcy Shargo, CEO of the Maine Primary Care Association, which represents the state's federally qualified health centers, says there's not enough.
Every conversation I have, this comes up as a barrier, and this is not only in FQHCs, but really across the board in the state. So I would say right now, in terms of response, that is our biggest challenge.
The lack of an adequate supply of personal protective equipment, Shargo says, affects the state's ability to expand testing capacity. She says she recently surveyed health centers to see whether they could become community testing sites if necessary. Several said they'd like to step up.
But to a point, all of them said, we cannot do this today because we do not have sufficient N95 masks. We don't have face shields. We don't have enough gowns. We don't have enough gloves, goggles, et cetera, et cetera.
This is a challenge in Maine. It's a challenge nationwide right now.
That's Maine Center for Disease Control Director Dr. Nirav Shah speaking at a daily press briefing Monday. The lack of supply is a global problem caused by increased demand and a disruption in the supply chain as countries grapple with the coronavirus. Shah says Maine is doing what it can, including assessing existing stocks across the state and allocating as necessary. On Monday, he says, state government distributed supplies to 60 healthcare facilities, and he expects additional supplies from the national stockpile.
We were notified that our request of the federal government for additional protective equipment is going to be fulfilled, and the first delivery of that equipment is expected soon. That delivery will include a cache of gowns, gloves, face masks, and face shields.
But President Donald Trump threw cold water on the hope that the federal supply will meet states' demand during a conference call with governors on Monday. According to the New York Times, Trump told state leaders, quote, respirators, ventilators, all of the equipment, try getting it yourselves. A spokesperson for Governor Janet Mills says that she's working to confirm the veracity of the president's remarks and pressing for the release of equipment from the federal stockpile to Maine. Meanwhile, the immediate effects of the limited supplies on health systems in Maine appears to vary depending on size. John Porter is a spokesperson for Maine Health, which includes 9 local hospitals.
We expect to have enough to meet our needs for the foreseeable future, emphasis on the foreseeable.
Porter says Maine Health was able to increase its stock of personal protective equipment before cases of COVID-19 were identified in the state.
We also, at every hospital organization, have a stockpile of PPE as part of our pandemic response planning.
A spokesperson for Northern Light Health, which operates 10 hospitals, says they currently have enough protective equipment to care for patients and protect staff and are diligently managing the use of supplies. But managing supplies has proved challenging for Lori Kane Lewis of DFD Russell Medical Centers, which operate 3 federally qualified health centers in Androscoggin and Kennebec counties. Lewis says every week she's tried to replenish protective equipment, and every week it's backordered.
Even surgical masks are backordered at this point.
Lewis says the DFD Russell Center's ability to become a community testing site is not only hampered by the lack of personal protective equipment, but also by a lack of tests. Maine's supply is funneled from the U.S. CDC, which initially sent 1 kit with roughly 1,000 tests. Lewis says when she asked the state CDC for some of those tests,
they said they could give us 20, and that was as of last Friday. And so I can't post on our website or our Facebook page, we're a community testing site, and only have 20 test kits on hand.
Lewis says their patient base is 10,000. Darcy Shargo of the Maine Primary Care Association says she thinks the state is doing its best with the current situation. With no clear end to the equipment shortage, she says, it underscores the importance that Mainers adhere to recommendations intended to reduce the spread of the coronavirus, which includes frequent hand washing and social distancing. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And Steve Missler contributed to this report. As part of Governor Janet Mills' weekend declaration of a civil emergency to limit the spread of COVID-19, the state's recommending that schools, quote, cease classroom-based instruction as soon as practicable and for an indefinite period of time. That decision comes after dozens of districts across the state already announced closures in the last few days. Many are moving toward online and remote learning options for the foreseeable future. Robbie Feinberg joins me now to talk about some of the challenges that schools face in the weeks to come. Robbie, bring us up to date. What steps have schools taken over the past couple days, and what explains their different approaches?
Yeah, we really saw things begin to change over the weekend when dozens of school districts announced that they would close in an effort to limit exposure to the virus. This began with schools on Mount Desert Island on Friday, but by Saturday night, several schools in York and Cumberland County announced that they would close for at least 2 weeks. A few districts, including RSU 71 in the Belfast area, announced that they would close even longer through the end of school vacation in late April. I spoke with Education Commissioner Pender Macon earlier today. She acknowledged that many districts and superintendents faced substantial pressure from families, experts, and outside groups about whether to close or not. But she says the state held off on any statewide recommendations before community transmission was detected yesterday because of the different circumstances of districts around the state.
It was a very difficult decision for us to make this strong recommendation to superintendents because we know what types of inequities, economic hardship, childcare issues, and educational deficits that could result from any type of school closure, and particularly one that may last for a period of time.
So how are the schools dealing with these extended closures?
Yeah, many are still figuring out their own situations right now. One of the biggest immediate concerns has been around school nutrition. School-provided free and reduced-price breakfast and lunch are crucial for a lot of families across the state, so many districts have launched a few different strategies. Some are looking at handing out food at distribution sites, somewhat similar to the summer food service program that many schools participate in already. In an alert yesterday, Portland Public Schools says it's working towards setting up those distribution sites by Wednesday. But in the meantime, the district is working with the nonprofit Full Plates, Full Potential, which recruited a number of restaurants in the area to provide meals. But for more rural areas, that's been a lot more difficult. So one strategy that some districts are using is to use school buses as something like a food service delivery. Mark Turner, the superintendent of RSU 87 in the Carmel area, said that in his district, school buses went on their normal routes at 8 a.m. this morning, but instead of picking up students, they delivered breakfast and lunch to any students who wanted them.
They rode their route. They stopped at places. There were many places where people were outside waiting ahead of time, and they could just stop and take what they needed. And our goal is to get better and better at it as time pushes forward.
And what's the plan for if schools will continue classes this year?
Yeah, that's really varying across districts. Some, like RSU 87, are holding off on academics for now. Superintendent Mark Turner says if the closure only lasts 2 weeks, the district will just hold classes over April break to make most of that up. But if schools were closed for longer, he says the district would then join many others around the state in moving towards remote or online learning options. That will likely mean using online tools and resources like Google Classroom to keep some classes going virtually. But even that's not an option for every district. For example, Bangor Superintendent Betsy Webb says that because of the many students in her district that have no access to the internet at home, schools have instead distributed take-home packets for students. Webb says teachers will still be accessible to students and will be checking in daily, whether by email or phone. But she told me that no matter what kind of substitute is developed, this will be a challenge.
Quality of the teacher and their interaction with the student really determines the most successful learning environment. And I really think that happens in a classroom with face-to-face interaction. But in this circumstance, we're going to do the next best thing, which is make sure everybody is safe and that we can do our part to flatten the curve.
And with such an extended closure, do we know if districts will have to make these days up?
The DOE says details around that are still evolving, but Macon says that should be addressed in the governor's upcoming emergency bill. Also, this is typically the month when students begin to take standardized tests. The commissioner says the state is seeking flexibility on that and says it's difficult to imagine when it would be appropriate to implement standardized tests at this point.
All right, that's Maine Public Radio reporter Robbie Feinberg. Thanks, Robbie.
Thanks, Nora.
And as schools around the state are closing, the executive director of the Maine Council on Aging is urging legislators to move more resources into direct services for seniors, people who are sick and the homebound, as part of preparations for COVID-19. Jess Maurer says that as cities and towns take steps to curb spread of the coronavirus, the pool of direct care workers is likely to shrink. And that's on top of what she calls a severe and pervasive shortage of direct care workers in the best of times.
We're more concerned about the fact that Maine's aging network was really stressed before the virus came along, and that we do not have sufficient resources to meet increasing demand.
Maurer says that as more schools close in Maine, many direct care workers will have to stay home to take care of their kids, even as the need for health care grows. But she says it might be possible for some of that need to be addressed by speeding up some of the approval processes for volunteers who are healthy but aren't working right now because of the coronavirus.
We're already getting increased requests for how people can help, but there are some complicating challenges there as well. People obviously need to be trained. They need background checks, and they are going to have to be clear of the virus themselves.
Maurer says the Maine Council on Aging is asking lawmakers in Maine for about $20 million for direct care workers. She also says direct care will suffer less if workers have access to child care. And she says the Meals on Wheels program needs more funding as demand is likely to increase with people isolating themselves. And because many Meals on Wheels volunteers are older and will themselves decide to stay home, She says that will all have to be managed by area agencies on aging.
This means that the area agencies on aging will have to use staff overtime, will have to buy more meals. These are actual costs. And then there's the mileage cost associated with delivering these meals.
The council's also asking for about $1 million from the state legislature to help manage those costs. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock. I'm Nora Flaherty.